Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. On this week's show, we have a jam-packed episode, so we hope you enjoy it. So sit back, relax, grab a cold beverage, and let's talk everything there is to know in Louisiana outdoors. All right, guys. So welcome into an all new episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Robry. And guys, I'm glad to be back with y'all once again this week, as now we are nearing the end of February. And for all of you who are watching us right here on our YouTube channel or our Facebook channel, we appreciate you tuning in for the video version of this podcast. And for all of you who are streaming it on all your favorite podcast platforms, we just want to say welcome and thank you as well for tuning in to this new episode, guys. So been busy over the last couple of weeks since we last got together and we had an episode and we all sat down and talked about the recap of waterfowl season here in Louisiana and kind of how that had all went down throughout the season. Well, fast forward now, we're sitting at the end of February, almost into March, and it is that time of year when a lot of us, after hunting season, we get really busy with everything going on in our personal lives. So whether it's work-related or whether it is, family-oriented, the kids are starting up sports, whatever it may be, it becomes a busy, busy time of year. And a lot of us are catching up on honeydews from hunting season. I'm sure you can relate to that as well. I know I am. Springtime, I got lots of honeydews to do in the yard and catch up on some things. But besides that, it's also fishing season kicking off right now, and I'm really looking forward to doing a little bit of fishing. I see some of you who follow us and some of my good friends that are in the outdoor industry. You guys have been posting videos of fish that you've been catching. With the warm temperatures that we got, especially down here in the south, it looks like the spawn is going to be early this year, and we got some guys, some of you are catching fish already. So you're making me jealous. I have to be honest with you on that. I've been kind of jealous lately because I'd like to get out a little bit more than what I've been able to do and just haven't had the opportunity. But I did get to go on one trip and we took the camera along with us. We posted a video up on our YouTube channel and our social media platforms. I took my youngest son, Hudson, out with me and we got to do a little bit of sockeye fishing under some popping corks with some tube jigs and had a good time, man. We had a really good time. We were looking to see kind of if they were in that pre-spawn mode or if they were kind of already spawning, doing their thing. But we were a little early. This was 2 weeks ago that we did this this trip, and we were just a little bit early, but we were able to still catch some fish. Nothing with any size to them, but we were able to get on a little bit of fish with the help of one of my good friends who had kind of led us in the right direction to go check out a certain area. So that little trip that we took was an afternoon trip, and we had a lot of fun. It kind of got me fired up a little bit, man, a little fired up to do some fishing. Now, Jackson, those of you who listen to the show, you know my oldest son, Jackson. He's in a lot of our videos and so on and so forth. But he is actually going to be leaving this week. He is going up to Toledo Bend here in Louisiana, northern part of Louisiana. Well-known reservoir, Toledo Bend is world famous for their bass fishing, and they have a high school tournament that they're going to be fishing, a two-day tournament this Saturday and this Sunday. So he's going to be leaving on Friday morning. They get a scout day on Friday, and then the tournament starts Saturday morning. So that's a big deal going on with the high school bass fishing, and it absolutely blows my mind how much that circuit has exploded. I know professional bass fishermen has exploded, but so is the high school deal. And that's really something that I wish me coming up when I was in high school, I wish I would have been able to have something like that. But I'm glad that at least my kids coming up now, they have that opportunity to do that and participate. And he has had a blast in the tournaments that he's fished so far. So that's a pretty cool deal. With the warm temperatures that we've been having over the last 2 weeks, I think they're probably going to catch some good quality fish this week when they get up to Toledo Bend. And I know the Elite Series, the Bassmaster Elite Series, they just rolled out of Manny and Toledo Bend over the last weekend. And they had some pretty good bag limits that were going on up there. So I'm looking forward So the high school kids coming in this weekend, catching some fish. And I think they're going to have a excellent tournament coming up this coming weekend. So he'll be hitting the road, and mom and dad will be staying behind this weekend. Dad got to work, and, you know, we got baseball that's kicked up this time of year. I do coach baseball, so I'm pretty active in all that going on with my kids. So just a lot going on, guys. I'm sure you feel the same with what you guys got going on in your lives right now. And it's just a busy time of year, but it's also a very fun time of year. So there's just, you know, a lot of stuff to look forward to as we head into the summertime. But on this episode, guys, something that I wanted to talk about is a subject that's been gaining a little bit of steam and ground as far as talking about mud motors, and it pertains to waterfowl hunters. You know, all of us are either running an outboard typically, or you're going to be running a mud motor of some kind, a setup in a mud boat setup. Or if you're old school, you may be just paddling in with a kayak, a pirogue, any of that type of stuff. But what I want to talk about today, guys, is a subject pertaining to mud motors. And we've had several episodes of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors podcast where we have delved into mud motors, whether it was a setup or kind of maybe the setup that we were running or upgrades that we had made through the years, going from outboard to a long tail, then eventually into a surface drive. But the topic that I want to talk about this week in particular with mud motors is that in Arkansas right now, a lot of you guys that follow this news are probably familiar with what's going on in Arkansas right now. And that is that they are trying to present legislation in the state of Arkansas that would ultimately ban mud motors on wildlife management areas. So that is something that, you know, we've kind of heard through the grapevine over the last couple of years. That's something that I know several people that run mud motors and run mud motor setups have kind of, you know, brushed off the idea that that could possibly happen. You know, but it looks like in Arkansas, at least for this example, it is becoming more of a possibility that this could become the norm, guys. And my question is to everybody is, what are your thoughts on that situation? You know, as I talk to fellow waterfowl hunters and duck hunters, it is a wide range of opinions when it comes to mud motors and specifically mud motors on state and public land. So, you know, I could see all points of view that and opinions that people have. I try to take that in. I try to, you know, listen to what everybody has to say as far as their point of view on that. And of course, I have my point of views as well, but that's just one man, you know. And but I'm interested in that topic. I think it's a big part of our hobby right now. I think it's something that we definitely need to take a look at from a legislation standpoint. But is it ultimately is the end result and the right decision to ban mud motors on state or public wildlife management areas? And that is something that I don't know I have an answer to at this point in time. But my gut feeling tells me that the answer to that I would say is no on that at this point in time. But first of all, why are, you know, states possibly looking at this? And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, their reasoning behind it, what you hear come out of these state agencies is that they need, you know, places for the birds to rest. When they migrate down the flyway, they need places for these birds to be able to rest and loathe and just kind of, you know, not have so much pressure on them throughout the entire day. Now, you know, years ago, to this day, many management areas have hunting restrictions as far as what time you can hunt during waterfowl season. You can only hunt up to a certain time. And I know here in Louisiana, in most of our wildlife management areas, it's a 1 o'clock cutoff, you know. So you can make a hunt. You can hunt all the way through the day up until about 1 o'clock. And then at 1 o'clock, you have to have decoys picked up and you have to be, you know, not hunting over any kind of decoys or making a formal hunt at that point in time. Now, what oftentimes you will see happen is that guys that are hardcore or guys that are maybe trying to learn a particular area, what they'll do is they'll hunt throughout the day, you know, and do that. And whatever time they finish their hunt, then they'll, you know, tuck all their gear away, pick up the decoys, do all that type of stuff. And then they start riding around the wildlife management area and they kind of make an afternoon out of it sometimes, you know? So from that perspective, I could see that, yes, there is a lot of pressure on these birds because they don't have any kind of time to be able to come into an area. Maybe they come out of the fields where they're feeding in the morning and they want to go into the timber or go into the marshes and they want to just sit low and rest, you know, and kind of get away from some of that pressure. Well, if you got mud motors that are being ran throughout the day, not just because they're hunting, but because they're riding around looking, scouting, quote unquote, scouting, looking at new stuff, building blinds, brush blinds, that type of stuff, then it is constant pressure that is put on those birds throughout the hunting season, you know? And that from that perspective and that point of view, I could see where there would be an issue at that point with trying to eliminate some of that pressure on those birds, you know? So in the grand scheme of things, what the states are pushing for, or not all states, and I don't want to make it sound like it's all states, but when you hear these regulations and these proposals come up in these certain states, what they're trying to say is that, hey, we need to make the hunting better than it is. You know, we need to improve on, you know, either habitat, pressure on the birds, or a combination of everything, you know, that factors into a successful hunt. So by eliminating the pressure on these mud motors, especially mud motors today, which most guys are not just running stock mud motors anymore, you know? And, you know, even though I'm a big fan of stock units, I'm not one of those guys that's obsessed with putting stage kits on my mud motor to gain a few miles per hour faster, none of that type of stuff to soup it up, to try to beat and other people and get to the hole as fast as I can ahead of everybody. So, but if you are in that situation and you do have that and that's something that you're into, then you got to understand the consequences that could possibly come with that. And, you know, this could be a ultimate consequence that you pay for having that little bit of modification to your mud motor and to your hunting style, you know, in order to be able to get to the hole first or beat people out to get to a hole. So, you know, I get it. If that's your jam and that's what you like doing, then I'm not knocking it. That's what it is. That's what you like to do. You think you need that. And that's perfectly fine. That's your prerogative to be able to do that. But what I see them seeing is from a legislative standpoint and from a wildlife management standpoint, they're saying, okay, these things are really loud. You know, they create a ton of ruckus when they're coming through the marshes, when they're coming through the timber, and through the wildlife management areas in general. And it's another factor that's playing into those birds having that pressure and, you know, just being constantly pounded on, you know, or having people around them. So it's not that they're saying, okay, well, these birds are hearing all this. They're seeing all this movement. They're seeing all this activity go on. And if they are there, they're not going to hold there. They're just going to keep moving. You know, they're only going to stay for until they're pushed out, and then they're going to get the hell out of Dodge at that point. And I do believe that is true to some extent. There's no doubt. We all know as waterfowl hunters that pressure on birds will force birds out of your area. And that's just common knowledge. Everybody's seen that, you know? So I understand that aspect of it. I think that's what they're trying to use in their corner to be able to push this legislation. But then again, I don't think, in my opinion, I guess I should say, I don't think that the good should pay for the bad. Now, when I say that, does that mean that you guys that are doing that with the stage kits and all that are bad guys? No, it doesn't. I'm just using that old saying, you know, the good pay for the bad. So unfortunately, they're looking at this as a bad thing, which those group of hunters, and if you're part of that group of hunters, they're looking at it as, hey, you could be doing this better. You could be doing it differently. We've warned you through the years and through the seasons that this could possibly happen if you continue to do this type of stuff. And now we're going to push for it to happen because you guys don't listen. You know, you're not listening and it's not getting better. The hunting's not getting better. Now, once again, this is not my opinion. This is just my grand, you know, scheme of what, and I say grand scheme, this is just my opinion of what I think they're using in order to, you know, as ammunition to be able to push this legislature through and maybe make this a, you know, something on the WMAs that would possibly help out the hunting, you know? Now, With that being said, will this ultimately happen? I guess who knows right now at this point in time. When it comes to government stepping in, I can tell you this, I'm not a big fan of it. And I think nowadays, especially over the last couple of years with politics and everything that we've seen going in this country, I think a lot of you would probably agree with me on that statement and say that the least amount of politics involved in our everyday activities is probably the best thing for all of us, especially outdoorsmen. Because it's already that we have a ton of pressure on outdoorsmen right now with the Second Amendment rights, all of that type of stuff that you see going on in the country right now. This is just another thing that we do not need the government, you know, meddling in. And unfortunately, it appears that in some states we are at that point now where it's very, very close to possibly happening. So, you know, when government gets involved, that's never a good thing. And I can't say that we haven't been warned about it. I mentioned that already, that we have been warned about this before. You know, this year in Louisiana, there was a law that was made that, you know, you couldn't have the stage kits and all that type of stuff. If it wasn't, you know, stock exhaust on your mud motors, then it was going to be illegal to use. And, you know, I don't know how much that was actually enforced this year here in Louisiana. It doesn't seem, or at least I wasn't around anybody that seemed to talk about it a whole lot amongst the other hunters. I haven't heard anybody that really got tickets or ticketed, paid any kind of fines, any of that type of stuff from that situation because they had a non-stock exhaust, any of that type of stuff. So I don't know how much it was enforced this year, but if I had to guess, at least here in Louisiana, moving forward, you will probably see that continue to be, enforced a little bit more and a little bit heavier than you probably did the first year, because it gives time. Usually when they have these type of laws passed, they'll somewhat give you a little bit of a grace period or a little bit of time to go ahead and make the changes that you have to make to adjust to the new laws and ultimately just kind of give you a slap on the wrist if they catch you early on, kind of give you a warning. And then if they catch you again later down the road, then of course you'll pay the fines and that type of stuff, get ticketed, all that type of stuff. So I don't know if it's just because it was the first year that this was a big law that was put into place for hunters, and especially pertaining to waterfowl hunters in general, you know, in wildlife management areas. But it is something in the right step that I think Louisiana did this year to go ahead and try to modify some of that stuff as far as, you know, putting a little bit less pressure maybe on the birds due to the loudness of the motors with the stage kits, all that type of stuff, you know. But even though it's a step in the right direction in my own state, there's still, you know, people, whether or not you have a stage kit on a mud motor or you have a stock setup, if you're continuously putting pressure riding throughout the day in these wildlife management areas, then it really probably doesn't matter because the birds know you there. They don't have time to come in and really sit and relax like we talked about. And whether or not you got a stage kit, you know, or you got a stock set up and you're riding through the timber or through the marshes and you're jumping ducks up, it probably doesn't even matter at that point. It's just human pressure that's getting them out of there and getting them, you know, to move on somewhere else. So I don't think that is the ultimate solution, I guess, you know, by, you know, making the law to modify or to go back to stock units on these mud motors. And I think it's a warning sign, to be honest. You know, I think it's one of those things that they're doing this and saying, hey, this is the first step we're taking to try to kind of take some of this pressure off, kind of make things a little bit better. And, you know, if we don't listen, if guys are still running, you know, units that are illegal and you know, motors that are not stock motors, and they're saying, well, fuck it, I'm just going to do it until I get a ticket. And even if I get a ticket, I'll probably still run it because I spent all this money on a stage kit to upgrade my system. I like the way it runs. I got it performing the way I want to do it. And I'm going to do it until I get caught. And I'm going to do it maybe even after I get caught. Well, if that's the situation, then the next step is going to possibly be something that what Arkansas is proposing right now as far as just altogether. Well, we're going to go ahead and ban mud motors on wildlife management areas and state land at that point, you know? So my point there, guys, is that we don't want to get to that point. I know I don't want to get to that point here in Louisiana because, you know, in Louisiana, our terrain now has become so overwhelmed and so, you know, clogged up with, you know, invasive species, especially stuff like floating hyacinth, salvinia, all that type of stuff, to where we don't get the normal water flow that we used to get here in a lot of our rivers, our bayous, you know, our backwaters, all that type of stuff has become so clogged up that you pretty much have to have a mud motor of some sort, whether it's a long tail or whether it's a surface drive, to be able to access the area that you want to hunt, you know? Now, you know, up in Arkansas, it's a little bit different. You know, there's still a lot of outboard activity going on in Arkansas, especially in the flooded timbers, you know, the White River, all the backwaters, that type of area, just to use as an example. So there's still a lot of outboard activity going on in Arkansas right now. But the popularity of surface drives has definitely increased in those areas. There's more of you guys up the flyway in those areas that are buying surface drives, because they are versatile. You know, you could go shallow if you get a low water year like we had here this year, then yes, you could go shallow and you could drop it down, you know, and to where you can only go so shallow with the outboard motor before you're overheating it or you're having to put a jack plate on it just to get it moving, that type of stuff, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it, but at the end of the day, I think when they start putting these regulations into play, you know, as far as like limiting you to what you could put on the motors, that type of stuff, I really think as waterfowl hunters, we need to pay attention to that, and we need to try to abide by the laws on that as best as we can, because we don't want them to take it further. We don't want them to go further with it and ultimately, you know, ban these motors, you know, and make it a guideline to where they're not able to be used at all. So that's something that I don't want to see in my state. I'm sure a lot of you guys don't want to see it in your states. And if you're in a state right now that you duck hunt and you waterfowl hunt, and you have situations like we have here in Louisiana with low water, a lot of clogged up waterways, you know, then you're probably in that same situation where you're going to need a surface drive or a long tail mud motor at minimum to be able to go out there and make hunts in the areas that you probably hunt, you know. Now, there's another side. There's another group of hunters out there who look at this and say, man, I hope they do get outlawed. I hope that's the best thing that could possibly happen, is that these mud motors get outlawed. I'm sick of hearing them when I go in there. I still paddle in, I still pirog in, or I still use an outboard to go in. And, you know, yes, I can understand that point of view as well. But, you know, if you're a traditional waterfowl hunter and you still paddle in and you still pirog in, then you are limited. Let's be honest. You are limited to where you could hunt, you know, because you can't cover the area and the amount of water surface that you can if you have an outboard, whether it's a surface drive, a long tail, or an outboard. You can't cover the amount of water. So you're probably limited to a smaller space that you're going to be hunting, and that's perfectly fine. And you might be 100% okay with that, and you've always been okay with that. And that's great. If you could kill ducks in a smaller area and you don't have to use any type of powered propulsion, then I think that's awesome, man. I love the old school way of paddling in. I still like to do that. You've seen us do that here in Louisiana, where we'll pirog in or we'll paddle into a spot. And I love hunting that way, to be honest with you. But the reason I don't do that 100% of the time is because I want to cover more areas. As a you know, public land waterfowl hunter, I have to be versatile. And those ducks in a small area are not going to stay in a small area once they start getting pressured. So throughout the season, I'll try to move according to where the migration is moving, you know? And I think if you're a good hunter and you're trying to do the best you can to stay on the birds all season long, then most of us that are trying to be good hunters are going to follow the birds, especially if you're not in a lease and you're hunting public land, you know? So I know with us, like just this year, we went from the eastern portion of Louisiana to the western side of the state. We go up north in the northern portion of the state, back down to the south where we at and where we reside at, you know. So we're trying to follow the birds as best we can. And if you're paddling in and, you know, doing it the traditional way, then you just can't cover that much territory, you know. So what I would ask you in that situation, if you're one of the people that are saying, I wish they'd outlaw surface drives and this and that, just look at it from the other hunter's perspective as well. Because what these guys are trying to do with surface drives and with mud motors is they're trying to cover larger areas of water. You know, even if you're hunting down in the marshes, say for instance here in Louisiana in the coastal marshes, sometimes where you're launching from a public launch out to where you're going to waterfowl hunt could be miles away from a boat launch. Nothing that you can realistically paddle. You know, because so much coastal erosion has taken place here in Louisiana over the decades that we've lost a lot of land. So it's changed the entire coastal region, you know. So you might be hunting an area that's 5, 6, 10 miles up from where the boat launch is. And that's just not something that you could paddle. So you have to have either an outboard or a surface drive in that situation to be able to access and get to where you want to go to hunt. You know, Venice is another great example of that. Venice, Louisiana, those of you who hunt Venice. And if you haven't hunted Venice before, you've probably seen videos. Venice, Louisiana is such a large area with a lot of public access to it that there's no way that you could launch at Venice Marina or launch at one of the other marinas in Venice, Louisiana, and paddle out to a spot unless you're staying right around the boat launches and maybe some public marsh. But there's so many more areas that holds birds and that cover that, you know, allows hunters to be able to go out and hunt in Venice, Louisiana. It goes all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. So there's no way you're going to get in the Mississippi River and paddle a pirogue or a kayak to go down river and go hunt somewhere else in Venice, Louisiana. You got to have a boat. And oftentimes what guys do there is they'll actually take like a bay boat or like a bigger aluminum boat or something like that. And they'll put pirogues in the boat, transport it down river, and then they'll, you know, anchor out the big boat, and then they'll paddle into a spot in some of the ponds down there in Venice, Louisiana. So if you're doing that, that's great. As you know, that's also an option as well. But, you know, my point is, I guess, is that just, you know, we have to look at every hunter's perspective. So guys like me with surface drives, we have to look at the perspective of the hunter who doesn't have a surface drive and, okay, he's paddling in. Or, okay, he has an outboard motor and he's trying to get to a spot to compete on public land. And we have to take that into consideration. That's where the sportsmanship side of it, in my opinion, comes into play. You know, so that's very, very important to take into perspective. Once again, those of you who are paddling in, you know, you hunt the old traditional way, you have to look at it from the perspective of, okay, well, I'm happy with hunting this area. But the next guy might not be. He might want to go further away. He might want to go upriver, run a few miles to make a hunt and do that type of stuff, you know? And then you got you guys that are still running traditional outboards, okay? And they're saying, man, I sure would like to have a surface drive, but I may not have the budget to be able to purchase a surface drive or a long tail. And I still have my old tiller handle that I've been using that handed down to me that's 25 years old, and I can only get to where I got to get to. So, you know, everybody, no matter what type of propulsion you're going to have, a surface drive, a long tail, a tiller handle, or a paddle propulsion, paddling type, we all have different scenarios. We all have different opinions, but we got to somewhat come together and kind of back each other up when this legislation and stuff tries to come into play, or as a result of us not, you know, basically following the rules, you know? So I don't know, man. I think a lot of it with this legislative, you know, coming into play, this legislation coming into play, I should say, I think a lot of it is our own fault. That's my gut feeling and my opinion on it, you know, just because we kind of been pushing the boundaries. We've been pushing and pushing and pushing. And, you know, they've been kind of saying, hey, you need to back off on this. You need to, you know, stop running these mud motors all day with these loud kits on them, or, you know, jumping up birds with your stock mud motor or whatever it is. It could be an outboard motor. And they get into the point where they're just starting to have enough, guys. So I think, you know, I think we could definitely help ourselves that when something's, you know, done like that, then we can, you know, we need to back off. We need to follow the rules. As long as they're within reason and they're reasonable rules, you know, we need to follow the rules. And I think if we could do that as a group of hunters, then we're going to be better off. And I think some of that government activity is going to stay out of the everyday, you know, regulations of what we have to participate in on these wildlife management areas, you know. So, you know, I really hate to see this. I don't think that it's going to happen. My gut feeling tells me that this is not going to pass right now in Arkansas. But I think it's just another step forward for, you know, government to get involved. And it's just another step forward for them to be able to say, hey, we're here, we're knocking at the door, and this is going to happen eventually if some things don't change, you know? Now, what I would like to see happen ultimately, guys, is I know we talked about, like, here in Louisiana and many other states, they have cutoff times for when you can hunt, you know, or hunt up until during the season. I would like to see a rule possibly in place that says, hey, no activity at all. Everybody got to be out of the wildlife management area. If you're in a boat, you know, any of that type of stuff, you got to be off of the management area, you know, by 1:30, 2 o'clock, you know, in that situation. Now, I know that that can be hard to do because it's not only waterfowl hunters that are going to be, you know, accessing these wildlife management areas. Obviously, they go, you know, waterfowl season goes hand in hand with deer season. It goes hand in hand with a lot of these wildlife management areas have good fishing opportunities. So a lot of people like to fish during that time of year because it's the cooler months. So there's a lot, you really can't just say, well, everybody out of here by 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever it is. Because there's so many, you know, visitors that are doing different activities. So although I would love to see that, you know, maybe even if it's just starting with waterfowl hunters, you know, hey, you got to be off of the water. You can't be a waterfowl hunter with decoys in your boat, shotguns in your boat, that type of stuff. And on the water, you got to be out of there. So I can understand or maybe even like to see that. But I really think that's probably too hard to police. Because I know, like down here, another example of the coastal marshes again, there's casting blast guys. Guys come down here, they'll make a waterfowl hunt in the morning. They have their decoys in the boat. They got their guns in the boat. They pick up their rod and reels and they start red fishing. They start speckled trout fishing after that. And they fish throughout the afternoon. So you really cannot make a rule like that that's going to work for everybody. So you may have to generalize it or you know, customize it just to, you know, certain WMAs, because like there is a few WMAs that they already do that with here in Louisiana. I know Venice, Louisiana, the Wax Outlet down in the Morgan City area. And I think there's one other, I'm kind of going blank on it right now, but there's one other WMA that I know that you could hunt in the afternoon here in Louisiana. You're not cut off at 1 o'clock. So they do some things like that for particular WMAs already, and maybe that's something that they would have to do if they were to make a rule like that, as far as being off of the water completely at a certain time. You know, I know there's other areas in the state that have, you know, cut off mud motor use completely. One that comes to mind is Biloxi Marsh here in Louisiana. Biloxi Marsh, the agreement there is that Biloxi Land Company is actually the owner of the land that's part of a wildlife management area called Biloxi Marsh here in Louisiana, and they lease the land to Wildlife and Fisheries. So the agreement that they had when that deal was put into place and for that acreage and part of the coastal marsh to become a wildlife management area was that any kind of surface drives cannot be ran in the Biloxi Marsh, just so it wouldn't deteriorate the marsh. They had the idea, I guess, or the information, maybe they had some statistics that proved that surface drives caused more damage to coastal marsh areas than, you know, if they didn't have surface drives. So there was some kind of reasoning that went into that, and somebody had some pull there that was able to get that put into the agreement between the state of Louisiana and Biloxi Land Company. But what blows my mind in that situation, kind of, and I kind of sit back and I laugh at, is that you could run up to a 23 horsepower long tail in the Biloxi Marsh, but you can't have a 23 horsepower surface drive or any bigger horsepower surface drive. And those of you who have had long tails, you've had surface drives, I would have to say that a long tail probably could do just about as much damage to, you know, a marsh than a surface drive could. And maybe I'm wrong with that, you know, but I would have to say that digging in the mud, ripping up through the grass, you know, doing all that type of stuff could tear that land up just as much as a surface drive scooting through there at 28 miles an hour, you know? So I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But if I was looking at it from the outside in, I would have to say that that's probably, you know, it just don't make a lot of sense to me in that situation, you know? But that's the way it is. That's the rules. And that's what you have to abide by if you're going to hunt places like the Biloxi Marsh. So, you know what? That's one of those rules right there that you have to follow. If you don't follow it, they're just going to be looking at making more rules to stricken down on all of us you know, as we go through the years, you know, so don't want to see that. You don't want that government. I'm going to say this again. You do not want government messing with, you know, with you more than you need to. Let's just put it that way, you know, and we're already hunting on public property. It's state property, it's federal property, all that type of stuff. It's land that we have the opportunity to hunt without having to pay any kind of dues for leases, any of that type of stuff. So they have, we're in their living room, guys. They have the right to make the rules on that. And you have to abide by them, or there's going to be more rules, or ultimately there's going to be regulations that are going to greatly affect you. And we don't want to get to that point. So I don't know, man, this is a very interesting topic. I know a lot of people don't think it's anything to worry about. I don't think that's the case, in my opinion. I look at it as, hey, it's something that we need to pay attention to. I don't know if I need to worry about it at the moment, but we do need to pay attention to it for sure. You know, and I've heard also the opinion is that, man, there's too much money to be made by these surface drive companies, these mud motor companies. You know, you got companies like Go Devil, Mud Buddy, Gator Tail, all these big companies that have grown over the years and become a major player in the outboard and in the mud motor market. Yeah, there is a lot of money being generated, or these companies would not have been able to grow and expand. But the ultimate customer that, you know, led to the growth of these companies was us, the hunters, you know. And if the hunters aren't following the rules and government has to get involved and make things stricter, then at the end of the day, the manufacturers of these motors really don't have a whole lot of say-so in the matter, you know? So they're probably sitting back looking at it and saying, man, we hope this doesn't happen either, because, man, we're going to lose a lot of business probably if that's the situation, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle that could play into this whole scenario, and it's not something that I want to take lightly as an outdoorsman and as a waterfowl hunter that owns a surface drive and hunts public land 99% of the time, you know? So it's something that's interesting, guys. I'm going to keep a close eye on this situation in Arkansas. Like I said, I don't think it's necessarily something they're going to get swung through right now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will. Maybe this will pass, and then you're really going to see some other states start paying attention at that point in time and kind of starting to panic probably. But I think it's still a little early in this situation, in this ball game. And only time's going to tell exactly what's going to happen, guys. But it's interesting. It's something to pay attention to, especially it's funny how this stuff kind of comes up for, you know, vote in the off season. You know, a lot of us may not be paying attention as waterfowl hunters. The season's over. We got busy, like I talked about at the beginning of the show. We get real busy and we tied up with a lot of other stuff going on, and you don't really pay attention sometimes to that. So that's where, you know, shows like ours right here that you're listening to right now, or you're watching us on social media, we're bringing it up right now because it's something that's going on when a lot of people may not be paying attention. And that is, to me, in my opinion, when government sometimes is its most dangerous. So, you know, it's something that you got to pay attention to. You got to be educated on, and you got to know that it's out there. Because if we don't pay attention to it, guys, before we know, it'll change and things will be done and it'll be over and done. And we'll have new guidelines and new laws that we're not happy with, you know? So it's something to pay attention to. Be alert, be aware that it's going on out there, that they are pushing for stuff like this in certain areas. And do what you can, guys, to follow the guidelines that are in place right now, and just make the hunting experience a little bit better for everybody, not only now, but also in the future, you know, because like I said, we want to keep it where government's out of it as much as possible right now. So, but I'm interested to know what you guys think. Leave your comments down below, guys. I would love to get back with you, hear what you guys have to think. You know, like I said, I really don't know where I sit 100% on this situation. I'm still kind of taking in information, you know, as much as I can. But I think it's something that ultimately, you know, we're gonna have to deal with down the road, and that's gonna be something that's interesting one way or the other, you know. So, but I'm interested to know your comments. So, if you guys don't mind, if you're watching us right here on YouTube, Facebook, leave a comment down below. I'd love to get back with you and kind of see what you guys think. And besides that, guys, that's really what I wanted to talk about on this episode. And I also, as always, I want to thank all of our sponsors that help support us right here. on Last Stop Waterfowl, guys. I know right now with it being fishing season, my buddy Blake Benoit over at Benoit Performance Baits, he is out there grinding right now. I talked to Blake this week, man, and he told me, he said, Jacob, it is starting to pick up. He says, I got orders going out every week all across the United States right now. And my buddy Blake, he makes some awesome baits, guys, over at Benoit Performance Baits. So if you guys are coming out of hunting season, you looking to do some sackalay fishing or some crappie fishing for those of my boys up north, maybe do some bass fishing, go check him out at Benoit's Performance Baits. He makes hand-poured custom plastics. He has sackalay jigging poles that he sells now. He has hooks. He has terminal tackle. He has it all, guys. And he is a small business, and that is businesses that I like to support and that also support us right here on the show and other important people in our society, guys. I know Blake, he sponsors high school fishing. We talked about that a little bit. He sponsors collegiate fishing. So he's always giving back more than he gets in return. I can guarantee you that. So it's always good when I can mention his name and say, hey, go see my friend. He's a great guy, first and foremost, but he also makes a great product. And you're helping a small business at the end of the day, guys. So check him out, Benoit Performance Base. You can catch him on all the social media platforms. You can catch him right on his his Instagram page and his TikTok page. He's very active on there. Benoit Performance Baits, guys, check them out. And with it being summertime, another one I got to mention, guys, that I have got some messages from lately is SRD20 Boat Care Products. My buddy Stuart Delcom at SRD20. Stuart just got back from the Miami Boat Show, man. He had a booth over there at the Miami Boat Show, and he told me they had an absolute blast over there at the Miami Boat Show and moved some products. So I have a lot of people that have hit me up with me talking about the boat care products that we use and me being in the boating industry as a full-time job. What do I recommend? And guys, I recommend SRD20 Boat Care Products, because their technology, that nanotechnology that Stuart has developed that protects not only your fiberglasses, your aluminums, all that stuff. I even use it on my vehicles, my wife's vehicle, my truck. I use it on everything that I could put it on, guys. It protects. And I have seen a lot of boat care products and, you know, detailing products come through the years. I can tell you that SRD20 will last the longest of anything that I've seen. You don't have to use tons of it to apply to whatever you're applying it to. And it does a phenomenal job at protecting all your plastics, your vinyls, all that type of stuff on your boats, on your metals, all that stuff protected. And another good thing is if you go shopping, guys, and you're looking for some good summertime boat care products with SRD20, if you go to their website at any time and place an order with them and you type in the promo code LASTSTOP when you check out, you'll receive 20% off your entire order, guys. So that's 20% off your entire order with SRD20 by typing in the promo code LASTSTOP. So go check them out, guys. Two local companies based here in Louisiana that are absolutely great people with great products. And let them know that Last Stop Waterfowl sent you over or you heard about them right here, guys. Well, that's it for this week's show, guys. As always, thank you so much for tuning in with us on this latest episode. And until next time, guys, I am Jacob, your host, and we'll do it again soon. And we'll see you in outdoors, guys. Y'all take care and have a good one.